Open your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near him unto all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, if having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having a 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when he joined, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time the commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for certainly these folks that have shown up here today to come hear the word of God preached. I do ask that you would set me aside, that you would take the words of God and minister to each and every individual as you see fit. Father, we need you to meet with us. We need you to convict us. We need you to encourage us. We need you, Father, to guide us every step of the way. I do pray that if there is somebody here this morning that is lost, that, Lord, this morning may be the morning that they get found. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I read those passages of Scripture in Luke chapter 15. Obviously, the theme of the message, it kind of permeates through that chapter, is things that are lost. You know, it's a terrible thing to be lost, and that, be that spiritual or be that physical. Amen. It certainly is not something that people look forward to. There have been plenty of cases where men have gotten lost over the years. There was a group of 3 men back in April of 2016 that they were lost, and they wound up shipwrecked on this deserted remote island for 3 days. They wound up, where was that island at? It was way out in the middle of nowhere. I'm not even sure how to pronounce the island's name. Fanatic? Fandikik. But you have to be a fanatic to go way out there in a boat. But they were out there. And folks, these people were out on a boat, just a regular trip throughout the course of the day. And some things happened, and they wound up swimming for shore, and they wound up stranded for 3 days. They wound up finding the palm leaves, as you can see in that previous picture, and spelled out the word help on the beach. And that's what caught a U.S. Navy surveillance aircraft who was out looking for them, picked up their plea, and they were rescued. Now, that's not too bad. That's kind of an exciting story to tell. Amen? I mean, you know, 3 days, that's not too bad at all. But sometimes being lost is a lot worse. This gentleman, Stephen Callahan, embarked on a solo journey across the Atlantic back in 1981, and he encountered a storm, and his boat filled up with water, and he wound up in an inflatable raft. He tied the raft to the boat. The boat was slowly sinking, and he wound up, the storm came up, and he wound up swimming into the boat that was sinking and grabbing a few supplies. He grabbed some food. He grabbed some flares. He grabbed this little device that you can make fresh water out of seawater and just a few essentials, a sleeping bag, I think it was. And he got all that back into the inflatable raft that he was in. And then the boats got separated. And Stephen, out in the middle of the Atlantic, wound up 76 days on the ocean in that little raft. How would you like to be lost for 76 days out on the Atlantic? Sun, sharks, moon, sharks, sun, sharks. You're getting the picture. But he survived. He was found. What a blessing it was. He was found. There are others. There are others who are not as fortunate. In January 2007, Jim Gray embarked on a solo sailing trip. He was an avid sailor. He was experienced. He knew what he was doing. He'd been out many times before, but he went out of all things to scatter his mother's ashes. He was never seen again. Sometimes being lost, you get found. But sometimes being lost, you're never seen again. There were, you probably remember the story, it didn't happen too awful long ago. There were two 14-year-old boys back in 2015 off the coast of Florida that went for a fishing trip. Just out one day to enjoy the water. They had been out, many times before. They went fishing, and they were never seen again. Their capsized boat was found, but they were lost. Being lost is pretty tough. Amen? Amen. Being lost has it can be anything from a minor inconvenience to a major tragedy. I was working on a trailer yesterday, getting some mulch for my wife, and had the drill out, and I put some things together, and I got home from getting the mulch, and of all things, I couldn't find my drill. I am searching high and low. It's blue. I'm searching high and low. I'm looking in the shop going, I can't find the stupid drill. And I didn't go that many places. I mean, I walked out of the shop to the trailer, screwed the boards together, walked that back into the shop, walked back into the truck, and went and got the mulch. I'm going, it can't. Well, did I walk in the house? What did I do with it? Absent-minded preacher, of course. I'm scratching my head. I'm asking my wife, have you seen my drill? It, completely lost. And, I hunt through the shop multiple times looking for the blue drill. It can't be that hard to find. It's nowhere to be found. I take off down the driveway again to look. Well, maybe I left it on the trailer. And it fell off on the road. Well, I didn't see it leaving or coming back, or the second time I went and looked for it. No drill. It's gone. It's completely gone. I asked my wife. I said, will you call the, the garden shop where we got the mulch and see if by some chance it dropped off the back of my truck at the garden center? Because that's always possible. Nope. No drill there either. It was gone. It was just completely gone. And then my wife, as you'll see in the next illustration, good thing she was there. She said, I found it. I had set it on the grill when we got back from the garden shop. I had used it again. Minor inconvenience compared to some of these folks that have experienced cases where they've been lost for a long time. Amen. Our passage of scripture in Luke 15, we looked at three different categories. We looked at lost sheep, lost silver, and a lost son or daughter, right? Three categories of people that are lost. And three different groups, three different stories, and the Lord lumps them all together in one chapter. And I just thought it was kind of an interesting thing as I was just reading through the Bible, and it kind of stood out to me. And I thought to myself, why doesn't everyone ask this question? Why am I lost? Now listen, it's possible to be lost physically. Maybe you're wandering around in a mountain or in the desert, or maybe you can't find your drill, whatever. Why am I lost? But it's possible certainly to be lost spiritually. Amen? Yeah. Now if you're here this morning, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, you are lost. Amen? You are lost. You take that first example, and the Lord paints a beautiful picture of the 99 sheep that are with the shepherd, and that one lone sheep goes astray. And that sheep is lost. And that's a picture, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's a picture of you without God, wandering around in the wilderness, right? Looking for who knows what you're looking for, maybe just some food, whatever it is, but you're lost, and the Savior has to come and rescue you. So I got to thinking about those three, categories or three stories that the Lord relayed here in Luke chapter 15, and I got to thinking about this question: why am I lost? Now obviously I've been saved, so I'm not lost like that first sheep. But there's other ways to be lost as well. And I came up with about three simple categories, one that fits each of these conditions. And the first category is simply this. People are lost because, quite frankly, they're clueless. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is God over the whole universe. He knows everything, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But the truth of the matter is, many people wandering through this life are just kind of clueless about where they're going, what direction they're headed, where their spiritual destiny is. You ask people all the time if they know whether they're going to heaven or hell, and they say, or if they're going to heaven, they'll say, I hope so. People have a tendency a lot of times, like a sheep, just to be clueless. You know, I've been told, I'm not a shepherd in the physical sense. I've never cared for sheep. I hear they're not real smart. I'm not saying anything that in comparison to you guys. but sheep are just not that bright. They have to be cared for. They have to be taken care of. They have to, they have to be monitored and watched, and they have a tendency to wander off, and they're just not known as being intelligent. Amen? Now, I know this. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew, he said, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. You see, there's a lot of ways to be lost. One of them is as a sheep having no shepherd. And now, while the Lord doesn't lose anybody, and while the Lord is certainly capable of taking care of his own, there's a few phrases in the Bible that kind of sum this up. The Bible says in one place, it says this, what know ye not? clueless. Amen? Men, a lot of times, are clueless. The Bible in another place says, ye do err not knowing the Scriptures. The Bible says in another place, talking about a man, every man did that which was right in his own eye. Listen, one of the things that you'll find that one of the categories that you'll fall into is you'll find yourself a lot of times clueless. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't really know what the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. Maybe you never really had a real deep understanding of salvation, how simple it is, how that men's problem with God is simply boiled down to a matter of sin. And what you need is a way to take care of that sin. People try to take care of it with religion all the time. People are clueless. You ever been in a place where you are lost, like some of these people floating out there, and you look around and you have no clue where you're at? That happens. Some of these men were lost out at sea, or lost in a mountain, or lost in the woods. They get out in the middle of it, and you hear the old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. You know, it's like that. This parable of the sheep that went astray. Listen, why was that sheep lost? Because that sheep was kind of clueless. It just wandered off on its own. The Lord knew where the sheep was, and the Lord, obviously, in our illustration, went and found the sheep. But that sheep, in and of itself, listen, just kind of wandered away, clueless to where it was going. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you positive that you know where you're going when you die? If you were to leave this church service here this morning and God forbid, get in an accident on the way home, a car accident, and you were to die in that car accident, do you know for sure where you would wind up? Or are you like the sheep, clueless? There's many, many people that wind up being clueless. Amen. And that's one of the causes for people being lost. I noticed in the second passage, I better move along. I noticed in the second passage, there's a woman. It says in verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep till the house and seek diligently till she find it. I notice in this passage, first of all, that the woman had the coin, not the man, because he would have spent all 10 of them. Amen. But this woman has this coin, and the coin winds up getting lost, not because of cluelessness. This coin winds up getting lost because of carelessness. Think about that for a second. I look through this passage of Scripture and I read about this coin, and one of the things struck me as I was reading through it. You know, 10% of those coins got lost due to carelessness. Amen? 10% of those coins got lost due to carelessness. Now, the Lord said this, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name, and those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them have lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. The Lord can keep you. If you're saved, once you get saved, you get past that clueless stage. Listen, the Lord can keep you secure, and you're saved, and He's not going to lose you.
Amen.
But we as men, listen, we don't fare so well. We don't fare as well. Listen, 10% of those coins was lost due to carelessness. I was thinking about a couple of factors that caused that, and a couple things that surrounded that. And I note this. I know this. Folks, it was not the coin's fault the coin got lost. Amen?
Amen.
Now think about this. 10% of the coins. That, you know, we go through the church rolls and we look, and let's just round it off to about 100 people. Right? So that means 10% of 100 is, I made it easy, 10. That means there could be 10 of you sitting in here this morning that are in danger of being lost. Due to carelessness. Now, like I said, it was not the coin's fault that the coin got lost. Amen? The coin didn't do anything necessarily wrong. But nonetheless, the coin wound up lost. I notice another thing when it comes to losing coins. Folks, I notice this. The loss of that coin was not intentional. Think about that for a second. Obviously, what we're talking about here is we're equating it to people, right? The loss of that coin was not intentional. I do not think for a second that coin was intentionally hid somewhere and then forgotten where it was. I noticed another thing about this lost coin, right? What woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? It wasn't the coin's fault. It wasn't intentional. I noticed this also. Folks, that coin wasn't immediately missed. So you're talking about people here. You're talking about things that are lost. What happened? That coin, all of a sudden, the lady looks up and goes, "Whoa, I've only got 9. What happened to the other one?" I don't know how long that coin had been lost. I know there's a danger of losing 10% pretty easy if you're not careful. But I don't know how long that coin had been lost. But it wasn't the coin's fault. It wasn't intentional. And it wasn't noticed immediately. So you ask yourself that question, why am I lost? You know, you ever get that feeling like you're just going through the motions and not really engaged, not really a part, not really, you don't feel like you're where you need to be? Lost. A lost coin. And according to this passage of Scripture, like I said, 10% of us have to worry about that on a regular basis. Why? Because while the Lord Jesus Christ is not careless, sometimes people are. Sometimes people are. Now, fortunately, I realized I lost my drill quickly, and my wife found it. But sometimes you can go for a long time and realize, where is this thing at? And it's been missing for months. Sometimes you equate this thing to people. Sometimes, you know, you look at people and people can be lost and it's not noticed immediately. And that's a sad thing. People are lost due to carelessness, right? I got a couple things that will help hopefully from becoming lost. But a couple things to note about this coin. I know this. I know this coin, it's kind of obvious. Why is it lost? It wasn't with the others. Now that sounds really stupid. Right? That sounds really simple. But folks, there's 10 coins. 9 of them. 9 of them they kept track of. This lady was working diligently. And like I said, it wasn't because of lack of interest. I mean, when she realized the coin was lost, she went into high gear. She started sweeping the floor. She started doing all those things up and down, right? But 9 of those coins did not get lost. But the one that got lost, obviously, wasn't with the other ones. When it comes to getting lost, what are some of the factors that are involved? Like I said, 100 people, 10 of you are in danger of this almost every day. I'll tell you what one of the dangers is, you're not with the others. It sounds stupid. It sounds so simple. But you're not with the others. All right, so you have a fellowship Sunday. And you don't go. You have a picnic, and you don't go. You're not with the others. You have XYZ event going on, and you don't go. And in effect, what happened? The coin is lost. It sounds foolish, but you know how we can avoid getting lost? Stay with the other 9 coins. Amen? I mean, really? Okay? Stay with the other 9 coins. Now, I noticed another thing. You ever been working on whatever, piece of machinery, and you drop something, and it gets lost? No, you never. It never happened to you? Never dropped a screw down the elevator shaft? Screwdriver, yes? No? Drill. I was working in the shop yesterday and just kind of trying to clear my head, and I was putting on a new latch in one of the trailers I have, and happened to be the one that we were taking to get the mulch. But so I bought the trailer hitch, the end part, and I had to replace the little lever in my trailer. And I dropped that end piece on the concrete. And the metal that thing was made out of, it went like this. It went clang, 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 clang. My ears were like, oh, wow. And you know, I thought, man, it would sure be nice if when you lost a coin, it fell on the tile and made a noise. I can't tell you the number of times I've been working on computers, working on different things, and I drop a screw, and the sound gives me the direction of where that thing was at. But you know what happens sometimes? Sometimes we're all in this thing together, and you're going through life, and everybody's got a million things going on, and it's hard to keep track of. It's impossible. Sometimes that coin gets dropped, and it's not on the tile. It's on the carpet. And it makes this sound right here. I don't know where to look. I don't know where to look. I noticed she didn't know where to look. I noticed that when she realized the coin was lost, she gets out her broom and starts sweeping the whole house. She must have assumed she dropped it because she was sweeping the floor. I'm assuming she wasn't sweeping the ceiling. Unless there was cobwebs up there with a lot of big spiders, and maybe the coin got stuck up there. I don't know. But you know what would really help? Is when you start to get lost, if you made some noise. You know why? Because people, whoa, they understand. They get it. That coin wasn't with the others. I noticed this about that coin. I don't know how long. Okay, I'm attributing some human characteristics to that. There's a word for that. I forgot what it is. I'd ask my daughter. It's an English word. I learned it in English a long, long time ago. Since forgot it. But I bet that coin, during the time when it was lost, was feeling kind of lonely. You say, you know, like I said, 10% of us have got to watch out for that. Why? Because we're a coin, and it's easy to get dropped. And sometimes we don't make a noise. And that coin was by itself. That's rough. 76 days out on a boat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean by yourself. That's a rough place to be lost. I mean, if you're here this morning lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never been saved, that's a really bad place to be. But we're talking about Christians, right? We're talking about coins. That coin was off by itself in the corner somewhere. Lonely. Can I say this? If you ever go through a period of time where you're experiencing loneliness, you may want to ask yourself, why am I lost? Because that's what happens. I noticed this about the coin, like I noticed about my drill in the shop. That coin wasn't visible. Listen, this lady takes her broom. She starts sweeping and sweeping and searching. Diligently searching. She's looking for the coin. But the coin didn't make any sound when it dropped. There's no direction to follow to find it, right? The coin's off by itself, lonely. And you know what would have been really helpful? Is when I was searching through the shop, and I was looking, I thought, did I throw a towel on top of it? I was looking in the box. Did I throw it in a box? Is something on top of it? I'm looking. You know what would have been really, really helpful? If just a little piece of the edge of that drill would have been visible. I could have seen what was going on. I could have found the drill. This woman was sweeping her house top to bottom, cleaning her house, diligently looking for it, and she couldn't even find a trace of that coin. You know, it'd be really helpful sometimes when you're going through a stage where you're one of the 10% and you're lost. Show a little bit of yourself. Because chances are there's some people looking. Diligently. But that coin wasn't visible. You couldn't see that it was lost. I noticed that about the coin. I noticed another thing about that coin. That coin was desired. You know what happens? We're the coins. We get lost. We don't make any noise. We're off in the corner. We're lonely. And you know what we get to thinking if we're not careful? We get to thinking that nobody cares. Meanwhile, the woman has got the broom out and is going to town searching, trying to figure out where this coin is. She's got 9, but she's not satisfied because she wants the 10th one. That coin was very desired. But the coin didn't know. Right? Why, when it comes to being lost, you can be lost because you're clueless. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes you can be lost because people get careless. I didn't hear it drop. I'm guilty of that. But you know what? Every one of us can be guilty of that. Listen, every one of us, when we see a coin drop, we ought to be searching for it. If we can't hear it, we ought to look harder, get the broom out, start sweeping. Diligent. Why? Because it's a coin. It's valuable. And she loses it. She's sweeping the house, looking for answers. And I notice a third category of reasons why things or people get lost. Right? One is because of cluelessness. They just don't know what's going on. They don't know their Bible. They didn't study. They haven't looked at the Lord Jesus Christ. One is because of carelessness. Something happens and, 10% of the people are in danger. The third category, folks, is this. Cantankerousness. Like the way I got a C word, I thought that was kind of a cool word. Prodigal son. Prodigal son, prodigal daughter. See, the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter wasn't lost because he didn't know what was going on. It's not that he was clueless. Right? He knew the father. He knew who the father was. There was no issue there. The prodigal son was not lost because him or anybody in his family was careless. The father took care of him. The father made sure he was fed. The father, right? There was interaction. Everything was going on. The prodigal son was not lost because someone was careless. The prodigal son lost because he was cantankerous. The prodigal son falls into a different category. The prodigal son is someone that just looked at that situation and said, I'm out of here. I'm not happy where I'm at. I don't like the way things are going on. I want my money now and I'm going to go. Right? No matter how much pleading or begging the father may or may not have done with them, I am quite certain the father would have sat down with the prodigal son and tried to explain to him, hey, listen, son, what you're getting ready to do here is a big mistake. What you're getting ready to do here can cost you your life if you're not careful. I'm sure the father had that conversation with him. There is no doubt in my mind. But the prodigal son was not about ready to listen. Why? He's cantankerous. We typically give that title to old men. Right? When they get gray haired and they're hard to be around. But don't kid yourself. Sometimes it happens when you're younger. Cantankerous. What is cantankerous? Cantankerous is disagreeable to deal with. Why am I lost? Well, maybe nobody can ever say anything to you right. Always disagreeable to deal with. That's one of the definitions of cantankerous. Another definition of cantankerous is contentious. I bet the prodigal son was always going around and he was always finding fault with his situation. That's why he wanted to leave. That prodigal son was cantankerous. He was contentious. I'll tell you another definition of cantankerous. Peevish. I thought, oh, that sounds cool. Immediately what ran through my mind is a pet peeve. Okay, but how does that fit? So I looked up peevish. You know what peevish is? Cross. It is querulous. Or fretful. As from vexation or discontent. It is showing annoyance, irritation, or bad mood. That's peevish. You say, what on earth is querulous? It's full of complaints. See, the prodigal son was lost because of a completely different category. He was just kind of cantankerous. Kind of hard to be around. Fretful. Vexed a lot. Discontent. Showing annoyance, irritation, bad mood. Cross. Querulous. Full of complaints. I'm thinking that the cantankerous photo should have looked something like this. Three ways we can be lost. Right? Three ways that we can be lost. And I got to thinking about them a little bit. And then I got to doing a little bit of compare and contrast with the three ways. And I noticed there were some common threads that ran through the three different categories. One of the categories had to do with shelter. Listen, that lost sheep didn't have a house. That lost sheep wasn't in the house. It wasn't part of, quote, the group, the church, our. It was lost. We have a home in heaven. Right? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. We have a home in heaven. Listen, that sheep, the lost sheep, didn't have a home. If you're lost here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, listen, your category when it comes to shelter is you don't have any. You have nothing to protect you from the wiles of the devil. You have nothing to protect you from what the devil's trying to do to you. You are a child of the devil. You are unsheltered. Amen. Amen? But I noticed this. I noticed that the coin was in the house. That means, folks, that means that coin is one of us. That coin is protected, sheltered out of the wind, out of the rain, out of the cold, but still it winds up lost. I found that kind of an interesting comparison. And then I got to thinking about the third case, the prodigal son, when it comes to shelter. The prodigal son runs away from the house. I don't want to be part of the house. The prodigal son didn't just get lost in the house in the shuffle and misplaced and people were searching diligently for it. The prodigal son decides, I'm going to leave the house. That's a way that you or I have to be careful of, because we can be lost that way. I don't mean spiritually going to hell. I'm talking fellowship with God. I'm talking, you understand what I mean. I look at those three things and how they, the shelter of each one of those items is a little bit different. I noticed something else that was kind of interesting when it comes to the three things and how they were searched for. If you're lost here this morning, you know what the Lord Jesus Christ will do? He will go across mountains, rivers, valleys to try and find you and bring you to salvation. That shepherd, when he had 99 sheep, and he left them to go search for the one. And that is such an amazing story, a beautiful story. We use it all the time in illustrations. But the bottom line is, if you're lost here this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is searching for you. You're lost, he's searching. The question is whether you'll let him find you. I noticed in the second category with the coin, that coin was diligently searched for. That woman, like I said, grabbed the broom. She sweeps the house top to bottom. She's cleaning the drawers. She's probably doing spring cleaning in the middle of the winter looking for that coin. She wants it. She misses it. She wants to reunite it with the other 9 coins. But for a long time, she can't find it. But she's searching. Amen? She's searching. I noticed something about the prodigal son. The father didn't search for the prodigal son. That's a big difference. You stop and think about it. If you're lost because you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's searching for you. If you're lost because of carelessness, something that's happened because of carelessness, listen, there's people searching for you. But the prodigal son was cantankerous. And that prodigal son took his inheritance, ran away from the house to a far country, and the father did not go search for him. There's a difference. Understand? That's something that scares me. I'll be honest with you. I don't ever want to be in the position of being the cantankerous one that runs away from the house. Why? Because the Lord just might not come search for me. Now, there's plenty of signs along the way. I'm sure the father dealt with that son on a multitude of occasions. I'm sure that the father tried everything that he could to keep that son under the roof, in the protection where that son belonged. But the son wouldn't have anything to do with it. And he left. And the unique thing about the prodigal son is the father didn't go searching for the son. That's scary. Am I wrong? Even a lost person was searched for. A missing coin was searched for. And I got to thinking about just simply the solutions to being lost. All right? The solutions. If you're here this morning and you're lost, there is a solution. I understand there's more categories than just these three of being lost. There's more conditions that could cause it. But these are the three that are in the passage. If you're clueless here this morning, you need the Savior. Amen? That sheep, not the brightest animal in the world, not the brightest bulb. That sheep goes astray, doesn't have a clue, doesn't know the Bible, doesn't know what anything's all about. He's just kind of wandering out there, getting himself into trouble. Next thing you know, he's over too many hills and he can't find his way back. And what that sheep needs is a Savior. That sheep needs a shepherd who loved that sheep enough to go after him and search for him and climb those hills and trudge those valleys and wade that river and search and search and search for a lost sheep. That's what you need here this morning if you're lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're lost here this morning because of carelessness, something didn't happen, the coin got dropped along the way, didn't make any noise. Listen, you know what you need? You need a seeker. That woman grabbed that broom, diligently seeks, right? Or maybe on the flip side, you can be the seeker. Right? I mean, any one of us can be the seeker. But the coin needs to be sought for. They mount those searches and they start covering massive amounts of miles looking for lost sailors or fishermen or whatever that are out at sea. And the amount of money and time and effort and peril that goes into searching for someone that's lost, even in a boating accident, is enormous when it comes to being out on the ocean. One of the guys I work with was with the Coast Guard up in Alaska. They got a crazy job up there searching for lost vessels and distressed fishermen, that kind of thing. But there's a lot of effort that goes in to trying to find somebody that's lost because somewhere, somebody was careless. And then there's that prodigal. And that prodigal is a different scenario because the prodigal doesn't get sought after in Luke 15. Now, does that mean the father doesn't love the prodigal? Of course not. We know the end of the story. Right? So you just throw that out the window. Not true. The father loves the prodigal. The father missed the prodigal. The father longed for the prodigal. The father cared about the prodigal. The father probably sat back at the house every day of the week praying for the prodigal. But he didn't chase him. Why? I think the definitions that we looked at for cantankerous would explain why. Because the father knew good and well, I've done all I can do, it's not going to do any good. If you're lost because of cantankerousness, you know what you need? You need to surrender yourself. That Bible says about that prodigal son, and when he came to himself. It talks about the prodigal son being out there having no food. He spent all his money, riotous living, and he gets hired by this citizen of the country he was in to feed the swine. He was going to eat the food that the swine eat. And it says there that no man, it says in verse, where is it? In verse, I'm losing it.
Thank you.
I have it underlined too, an asterisk. And no man gave unto him. You mean the cantankerous one left the father who loved him, cared for him, because he thought he was going to have a better life, went out, is in a far country, runs out of money, has nothing, zero, and nobody in the far country will give him anything either? The prodigal son, the solution for the prodigal son has nothing to do with the father. It has nothing to do with searching. Because people chase after that prodigal son all they want. And you should. Right? I'm not saying give up on him. But sometimes what has to happen is that prodigal son has to come to himself. Amen. And nothing can replace that. And I think in this particular case, I'm sure the father did everything. I'm sure the father spent his multitude of days, months, and years trying to avoid the situation from happening. And when it finally happened, the father had to go, all right, son, I love you. I'll pray for you. But I guess there's some things you're going to have to learn on your own. And it took a significant amount of time. He had to spend all the money. Then he had to find a job. Then he had to realize that he was hungry. It took hitting rock bottom before the prodigal son, the cantankerous one, you know, well, that definition of cantankerous. It took a certain amount of time before that prodigal son hit the point where he realized no one's coming after me. I guess I better do something on my own. Amen? That's a rough lesson. I want independence. I want independence. I want independence. I don't want to be under rule. How come nobody coming out here to help me? We don't make any sense even to ourselves most of the time when we sit back and think about it. But that prodigal son had to be left alone until he came to himself. Say, why am I lost? Well, maybe it's clueless. Maybe you don't know the Bible well enough. You don't know what you should be doing. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. That's certainly a possibility. It happens to some people. And there's a solution for that. There's a Savior who's waiting there. He'll search the mountains to get you. Why am I lost? Well, maybe you're lost because of carelessness. Maybe your own, maybe somebody else's. But at least you're in the house. The solution to that is people in the house just need to keep sweeping and cleaning and searching and diligently looking until they find you. It would help if you made a little noise. Ding, 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 ding. Ah, there they are. Right? It would help if there was just a little bit of you showing. Ah, I see it. Why? Because people are looking. But another way to be lost is by being cantankerous. And it's a whole different ballgame. Right? The different ballgame is your struggle is not with the father. It's not with the brother. It's not with mom, even though she's not mentioned in the passage. It's not with the neighbors. Your struggle is with you. And at some point in time, you got to come to yourself. In our passage of Scripture, we see three categories of the stories of things that were lost. What caused those things to be lost in each case was different. The solution in each case was different. But I take you back to the beginning and ask that question, why am I lost? Right? When I find myself lost, when I find myself wandering around looking for direction, wondering whether I'm in the right spot or not, when I got to ask myself, okay, what happened? Why am I lost? Am I clueless? I don't really know what's going on. I've made some mistakes along the way, and I don't really fully understand where I should be. Was I careless? Or somebody else careless? Or am I cantankerous? Because usually you'll be able to find yourself in one of those three categories. And the Lord puts them all together in a nice, neat little package. One chapter, one right after the other, so you don't miss the comparison between the three. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, certainly for the book and for the principles and the things that you show forth as we sit and read through. I do pray that you would just watch over, take care of your people here, that you'd minister to them. Father, I'm sure that each and every one of them at some point in time has been in every one of these three categories. We all go through every one of these categories, up and down. It's a blessing when we finally do get saved. But if there's anybody here this morning who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, they're battling that clueless category. They're lost, and they need a Savior. They need the Lord Jesus Christ that paid the price for their sins. They need to receive Him as Savior and get their sins taken care of. And Lord, they won't be lost anymore. Spiritually, they'll be found. But Father, if there's somebody struggling here who's struggling with being lost because of carelessness, either their own or somebody else's, Lord, that thing happens all the time. Help them to realize that when someone gets lost because of carelessness, there's a whole lot of searching. There's a whole lot of sweeping. There's a whole lot of cleaning. There's a whole lot of effort and diligence that goes into finding that person that's lost. Father, that woman swept the whole house and searched and looked because she cared about that coin. And Father, if there's somebody here that's going through a stage where they're kind of lost and withdrawn because they're cantankerous, maybe they feel like running away from the house, Father, help them to realize that what they really need, in all frankness, lies within themselves. And as that prodigal son found, he had to come to himself and realize some things about himself. And then he took the journey back to the house. And he was humble enough, he was willing to take a low position. But his father was gracious and stopped him long before he got to that point. Killed the fatted calf, had a party, and rejoiced because the son who was dead was alive. Lord, if there's anybody struggling with that kind of lost situation here in this congregation, I pray that you'd deal with them. Help them to see, Father, that the answer is finding yourself. Now, Lord, we love you. Pray that you'd minister to your people. Give them what they need. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.